Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Amen. Amen. Why don't you have a seat? Good morning. So glad to see if you're a guest today. My name's Trey. I'm the pastor here. And that song we just sung, song's called Oceans. And it's one of our favorites here at the church. It's fun to sing. It's fun to think about. And I just wanted to kind of quickly explain it, especially if you're a guest today. The song talks about asking God to give me faith to walk on water and to step out. And it's an allusion to a story from the life of Jesus where he did just that. Jesus was walking on water, and one of his disciples was like, "Hey, if it's you, tell me to come." And Jesus is like, "Come on, bro." And a guy named Peter jumps out of the water, jumps out of the boat and walks on water. And the song is about us asking God to give us courage, give us faith, give us the ability to take a big, bold step for God, a step of faith, a leap of faith. It's a Christian phrase. It's actually made itself into the worldly vernacular. Even if you're here today and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, you don't believe in God at all, you have probably taken a leap of faith at some point. You probably dream about taking a leap of faith. You admire people that take leaps of faith. We all want to be the kind of person that takes leaps of faith. You probably have people in your life that take leaps of faith. Maybe you think that you wish they would take less leaps of faith. Like, three's enough, buddy. We don't need four in the same month. Let's slow it down. But what I wanted to talk about today is, why is it so difficult to take a leap of faith? Why is it so difficult to step out and to let our foot land without being 100% certain of how it's going to work out? Now, maybe you're one of those rare people where it's not a problem for you, and if that's the case, we got about 37 minutes left if you want to get your phone out, and you know, but for the rest of us, this is a struggle, and it's a struggle because oftentimes we don't embrace the unknown. We don't lean into the unknown because the unknown produces fear. And so what I want to talk about today is how, especially if you call yourself a Christian, we don't have to live that way. And the hope is that the lesson we're going to talk about today and the truth we're going to talk about today will give us the ability to take that first step. Because it's the first step that's always the hardest. It's the first step that's always the most difficult, because it's that first step where you truly have to just move, and you have to fight that feeling of fear and that feeling of failure and that feeling of not really knowing what's going on. It's pushing through that first moment that really makes all the difference. I was reminded of this first moment early this week when I was getting ready to speak. Several years ago, I took my two oldest sons, David and John, on a trip, just the three of us, and we flew. And for David, he had flown before and he remembered, but for John, he did not remember flying before. He had flown as a baby, and so it was his first time flying. We were leaving here from the Myrtle Beach Airport, and he was all excited about flying. He and his brother had fought about who was going to get the window seat, and he was like, "I want the window seat because I want to be able to see." That was a huge mistake, rookie mistake by dad. So windows up, and if you've ever taken off from the Myrtle Beach Airport, you know there's several ways you can take off. We actually took off directly over the ocean, so I think you know where I'm going. John was so excited that, you know, the pilot hits that throttle, and he's just grinning, and we're going, and we're going. And then the second that plane experienced lift, the second it came off the ground, he was all smiling. He went, and he started gripping the handles, and he started looking around, and it was not fun for him at all anymore. And we were maybe 20 seconds in the air. We had just gotten over the ocean. He looks at me, and he goes, "We're too high. We're too high." And I'm like, "Bro, we got a long way to go. This is nothing." And so as dad, I'm like, "Okay, I can solve this problem." And so I was just going to let he and David flip seats real quick without the stewardess seeing us or anything, just the flight attendant, just real quick. And so I unbuckled his seatbelt to move, and you would have thought I slapped him in the face. When I unbuttoned that seatbelt, he went, God, what are you crazy? And just like, I mean, he was hunkered in. Like, it was, this is, he was about to meet Jesus, and he was going to do it with a seatbelt on. And so, I mean, eventually we, you know, we stopped climbing. We stopped banking incredibly hard, and he kind of calms down. And things kind of get a little better, and he realizes, okay, that's over. I made it. I survived. And I'm like, well, buddy, you know we have to land as well. we tackled that later, but it was that moment of liftoff, that moment of leaving the ground, and what he felt and what he experienced. And it just caused tremendous anxiety and tremendous fear in him because he was not familiar with what was happening. He had never experienced it before. And I don't know about you, but I know when it comes to my life, when it comes to taking these steps of faith, these leaps of faith to doing things, especially if it's something I've never done before, if it's something I'm unfamiliar with, that there can be these feelings of fear and anxiety and doubt that can just come in and can stop me from what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing. And I have a feeling I'm not alone. And so, as I said, I want us to look at a story today, because I believe there are steps, there are leaps of faith that God has planned for every single one of us in this room. Now, whether you believe in God yet or not, we believe that he believes in you, and we hope one day you'll change your mind. And I actually want to talk about a specific leap of faith today. Now, this is general and applies to everything, but there's a specific leap of faith I want to talk about today, and it's specific to Christians, it's specific to Christ followers. And it's the leap of faith required for us to share our faith with someone else. For us to talk about the faith we have in Jesus, how he's changed our life, and to share that with someone else in hopes that they might change their mind about God. Now, I know for some of you, man, even bringing it up, you immediately, your heart rate went to here. You know, you're like, what? You want me to talk about what? And I understand that. I have a little bit of an advantage of you on you because this is what I do for a living. So I do this publicly all the time. But I also grew up Southern Baptist. And so for any of you that grew up Southern Baptist, you may know personal evangelism, which is what we're talking about, the act of sharing your faith with someone else, was a pretty big tenet of our denomination. We talked about it all the time. And so I have literally been in classes where I've been taught methods for how to share my faith. And for any of you, maybe grew up in a denomination, maybe you experienced this as well. I was taught different systematic ways to bring it up. I was taught how to move a conversation towards Jesus. A lot of the times we were taught sort of like, let the conversation go for a while, and then there were certain sentences you asked, you know, like you would ask someone, hey, you know, what do you think would happen when you die? You know, which is a great conversation starter, you know. Hi, my name's Bill. What do you think happens when you die? It's like, am I going to find out? I don't know. But there were just conversation starters. One method I learned, I'm not mocking this, but I learned a method for how to share the gospel message on a napkin. And like how to draw it out, and you would draw. We had to practice with each other to be able to draw it properly. Now again, I'm not making fun of that, because what my denomination was trying to do was they were trying to equip us and give us some systematic ways to do this super important thing. And it's a super important thing for us at Wellspring. It's why one of our core values, if you've ever been to our church before or you've been around for a while, we have these core values, these kind of things that we really hold dear, and we try to make sure that we get right. One of our core values is that we believe that we are rescued people who rescue people. We believe that with all our hearts. We believe that Jesus rescued us, and in turn, it is our job to partner with him to rescue other people. And part of that rescuing is having conversations about our faith and having conversations with people who maybe not agree with us, and inviting people to come with us to church, and inviting people to discover faith. But if you're anything like me, that one-on-one interaction, especially with a stranger, can be quite intimidating. I know it's a little surprising because of what I do for a living, but I'm super comfortable up here on this stage, but I'm very uncomfortable in a room full of strangers. It's not natural to me. I don't really do it well. I don't really know how to make small talk. Like I don't have that gene. I don't have the small talk gene. I'm just like, hi there. Nice weather, huh? That's all I got. That's it. I got some water. I got nothing else after that. Sorry, I need water. Thank you, love. It's not easy for me. Now, for some of you, it's super easy. If you ever met my youngest child, Jacob, it's super easy. Small talk is not hard for him. He loves it. He's never met a stranger. He'll be the best salesman in the world. When I was in college, I had some buddies who, like, we'd go to a restaurant. The waitress would say, hi, my name's so-and-so. Can I take your order? And he would say, well, first, let me ask you about your relationship with Jesus. And I'm like, how do you do that? You know, I've got a buddy in Colorado right now who's a pastor. And he's just gifted at this. He loves to go to Starbucks. He loves to meet strangers. He just goes up. He starts a conversation with them. And then eventually he says, what do you think happens when you die? No, he doesn't. He doesn't do that. That'd be weird. But for most of us, I think the idea of maybe not even a stranger, just even a friend, just there is an intimidation factor when it comes to talking about Jesus. And my goal today is to eliminate that intimidation. And to do that, I want to turn to a story from the book of Acts. If you've been with us this summer, we've been studying the book of Acts all summer long. It's one of two biographies we have written by this man named Luke. We have his biography of the life of Jesus, and then he sort of has like a biography history of the early church. He really specifies on some of the church leaders, this guy named Paul. And he sort of tells a story of how this movement began once Jesus left it in the hands of his disciples. And in Acts chapter 8, he gives us a story of this man named Philip. And the reason I love this story, and the reason I think it's so applicable to what we're talking about today, is the story really isn't about what Philip did. The story is about what God was doing at the same time. Because so often what happens, especially for those of us who call ourselves Christians, is when we feel like God asks us to do something, when we see a challenge coming up, when we think there's a leap of faith, what we feel like God says is, hey, you need to go do that. But what God's actually saying is, hey, come on, let's go do this together. And that's the power of this story, because it shows us how much work God was doing behind the scenes to allow Philip to do what God had asked him to do. And like I said, this is about sharing your faith with other people, but it applies to any leap of faith, any act of obedience that we're scared of, anything we're unsure of, the same message applies. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Acts chapter 8, where we're going to be. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. And here's how Luke tells this story. He says, as for Philip, the reason he says as for Philip was because he had just been talking about Philip, Peter, and John. He just told us Peter and John went back to Jerusalem. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So the Lord speaks to him and says, go take a walk to the south. Now, before you say, oh, the Lord spoke to him, it sounds a little odd if you aren't used to church or if you aren't fully aware of how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, but I would be willing to bet and assume that almost every single person in this room, maybe not, if not all of us, have experienced this exact same thing at some point in our lives. We have experienced the Holy Spirit speaking to us. When you get that little voice that says, hey, you probably shouldn't do that. Hey, that won't be a good idea. Hey, let's do this instead. Or like when you don't know why, but someone just kind of pops in your head and you're like, I feel like I should call them. In church world, what we Christians call that is we call that the prompting of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is basically God's representation here on earth, and the Holy Spirit is our coach. His job is to communicate with us 24/7, 365, and to point us in the direction that's gonna be the best for us, because that's what God wants for us. And so the reason we call them promptings of the Holy Spirit is because they're just that. They are suggestions. They are prompts. They are actually commands, but we get to choose whether or not we want to follow them. You know, so it's a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And the cool thing about the Holy Spirit is the more you listen, the more you obey, the more you follow, the easier it becomes to hear him in the future. And so when Philip hears the Holy Spirit say, hey, go take a walk down south, Philip has been really in tune with the Holy Spirit for a while. He and Peter and John were just in another area. They were preaching. They had seen God do amazing things. So he's like really locked in. He's kind of like you are when you sing the last song, you pick up your kids, you're walking to your car, but before you get in your car, it's that holy moment in the parking lot where you're going to change the world. You know, you're like, everything's going to change. I'm going to go home. I'm going to do this. Then you get in the car. You get on 501, and it all goes away. That's why we meet every week. If you grew up in church or if you're one of our students, it's the way you felt. Remember like Wednesday or Thursday of student camp? Like you're just on fire. You're like, I'm going to change everything. You know, that's where Philip is right now. He has been listening. And so when he hears God say, hey, I want you to go take a walk. I want you to go down south. Your friends are going to go home. But I need you to go this way. He says, okay. And here's what happened. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandake, the queen of Ethiopia. So he's walking along and he meets the treasurer of Ethiopia and is like, hello, treasurer. No, that's actually not what happened. I love Luke, but this isn't really a good telling of this part of the story. He met the treasurer the same way you were going to meet the people you are driving beside on the road on the way home. They were just sharing the same space at the same time. He hadn't met him yet. But see, Luke has heard this story from Philip. Philip already knows what's going to happen. So when Luke is writing it to us, he's just giving us some information. But all Philip is doing right now is taking a walk. And here's what he didn't know. One, he didn't know he was going to meet the treasurer of Ethiopia. Two, he didn't know this was going to happen. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. He had no idea that he had been in Jerusalem. He had no idea that any of that had happened. Now, here's what that means. That means that this treasurer of Ethiopia had somehow found out about the Jewish God. And he had become interested in the ways of the Jewish God. We do not believe he was Jewish himself, but he had just simply been there to sort of figure out what was going on. You could say he was interested in the things of God, but not yet invested in the things of God. You probably know many people like that as well. You may would describe yourself that way. It's one of the things I love about our church. This is a place for people that are interested in the things of God. And our hope is that you find him worthy and you begin to invest in the things of God with your heart and with your soul and with your life. Well, the treasurer at that point, he's not there. He's just kind of checking out the things of God. Again, Philip knows nothing about any of this. He just heard God say, take a walk. And he takes a walk and he comes upon the treasurer of Ethiopia in his carriage on the way back from Jerusalem where he had been worshiping. And that's not all. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, there's two questions there. Why was he reading aloud? And who's Isaiah? He was reading aloud because in the first century, paper was at a premium. And so they did not use punctuation or spacing when they copied text. So it was literally just this mass of letters all run together. And as you maybe remember or maybe not from when you learned to read or when you've maybe taught someone else to read, the easiest way to learn how to read and to begin to read is to read it out loud and to sound it out. And so when you don't have punctuation, you don't have spacing, the easiest way to decipher the words is to read it out loud. So that's what was happening. This treasurer who had been in Jerusalem, who had been worshiping God, was now coming home and was reading out loud a passage from the prophet Isaiah. Now, who is Isaiah? Isaiah was a prophet, which basically what we mean by that is he spoke on God's behalf. Before God sent Jesus, God sent prophets, and he would speak through prophets, and he would say, hey, Isaiah, tell my people this. And Isaiah would say, yes, sir. And he would go tell the people that, this specifically to the nation of Israel. And so Isaiah had been talking to the nation of Israel and giving them promises on behalf of God. So this Ethiopian treasurer had been worshiping and is now coming home reading God's promises. And Philip had no idea any of it was happening. He had simply taken a walk. But do you know that good things happen when we walk where God tells us to walk? When we simply allow ourselves to be positioned where God wants us, that's where amazing results begin. So this is the scene. Philip is walking where God told him to walk. He's listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. He has no idea what's going on. He comes across this guy. He's in his chariot. He's reading. He doesn't really know what's happening. He doesn't know what he's reading at this point. Philip has no idea. Philip is just walking along, and this happens. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Notice what he doesn't say. Go tell him about Jesus. Go tell him he's wrong. Go correct him. Go fix him. Go argue with him. Go yell at him. Go reprimand him. He doesn't say any of that. He says, "Hey, why don't you go get a little closer? Why don't you lean in to this moment? Why don't you just see if you can figure out what he's reading?" And so Philip, because he obeys and because he knows God's never let him down, and he's into this, he says, "Okay, I'll walk over and look what happens." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Now, see, I know what he was reading, and I'm going to tell you that in a minute. But so Philip walks over, and he hears what the man is reading. I'll go ahead and tell you, he was reading a promise about Jesus. This stranger in the middle of the desert just happens to have been in Jerusalem investigating the things of God and is now on his way back investigating the name of Jesus. And who does God send in his path but one of Jesus' closest followers, one of the 12 disciples? You've got to be kidding. See, I think when Philip walked over and when Philip heard him reading, I think Philip, like a lot of us, let out a huge sigh of relief. Okay, that wasn't just my brain. God did really tell me to walk here. Whew. You know, we've all had those doubts. God, I think this is you. God, I think this is you. God, please be you. Please be you. Please be you. He says it was you. I knew it all along. I never doubted you, God. But see, here's what Philip had learned, and here's what the story illustrates for us. Do you know how long God had been working on this encounter? A lot longer than he had let Philip in to the appointment. See, God had been planning this encounter when he put it into the Ethiopian treasurer's heart to begin investigating the things of God. And when he put it into the Ethiopian treasurer's heart to take a trip to Jerusalem where he could worship. And while he was there, he made sure he got a scroll for the prophet Isaiah that he was equipped to understand. And then he sent him back on his way. I believe it was only then that God decided to let Philip in on the plan and say, "Hey, Philip, I need you to take a walk. I need you to go take a walk because there's some stuff that's going to happen." And the reason Philip walked, and the reason I believe from this story that we can get the courage and the strength and the ability to take that very first step of faith is because this story illustrates a fundamental truth about our Heavenly Father and a fundamental truth about how He works with us. And this is that truth, that when God prompts, He also prepares. God does not prompt us to do something He hasn't prepared for us to do. He didn't say, "Hey, Philip, you better go handle this." He said, "Philip, I got something planned for you. Philip, I got something that's going to blow your mind. Hey, Philip, why don't you go take a walk?" Wellspring, I'm telling you, what would happen? How would your obedience change? How would you be able to manage that tension and manage that moment of fear and the moment of question and the moment of doubt if you could begin and I could begin, we all could begin to live our lives understanding that when God prompts, He also prepares. If He is prompting you to take a step for Him, He has prepared for your foot to land. He has prepared something beyond anything you can ask or imagine. It is not a prompting for us to go figure it out. It is an invitation to walk into the plan He's already prepared for us. How would that change your behavior? How would that change your invitation to our church? Because I don't know about you, there's been many weekends, many Fridays, many Saturdays, God has prompted me with a name, prompted me with a situation, and I don't know about you, but you know what I do? I start saying no on their behalf. They're busy this weekend. They got family coming to town this weekend. It's probably not a good weekend. And you know, it's really weird to say, hey, you should come to my church and hear me speak. It's real weird. It's real weird. Because what if they're like, bro, we loved everything. The message, yeah, okay. Yeah, you know, it's hard. So I tell myself these things. What would happen, Wellspring? What would happen if we became convinced that when God put a name on your heart and prompted you with an invitation, you knew He was tipping His hand to a plan He had for you and a plan He had for them? Would you walk more confidently or less confidently? Let me ask it this way. If your friend walked into your house tomorrow with a shirt on that said, "Dear, your name, talk to me about Jesus," would you? Probably so, right? What if we just begin to think that when God is prompting us to have that conversation, that is the sign that He is preparing them? Now, it doesn't mean everybody you have a conversation with about Jesus is going to automatically say yes. That didn't happen to Jesus, and it probably didn't happen in your life. How many times did someone have to invite you to church before you said yes? I bet it was more than one. But every invitation moves the dial, moves our heart, and prepares us for what's next. Now, here's the thing. Here's what you can't miss. This is why it's so important to take the step. Philip would have never experienced the preparing if he had ignored the prompting. He would have never known what was going on. He would never have known what God had planned for him. He would never have known all the steps God had orchestrated. He would have never known any of it. He would have missed the preparing if he would have ignored the prompting. So, Wellspring, what if we become people that truly embraces this idea, hey, when God prompts, He also prepares. And if He's put an idea in me, if He's put a step in me, if He's pushing me towards having this conversation, I'm going to take it in faith and I'm going to trust that He's going to move on the other side. And you say, but Trey, but I wouldn't even know what to say about sharing my faith. I wouldn't even know how to do it. I don't know all of those things. Well, let me show you what Philip does. Philip walks up to the gentleman and he says these words. Do you understand what you are reading? You know what that means? He walked where God told him to walk. He found someone in search of God, and he met them exactly where they were. If God's going to prompt you to have the conversation, don't you think He's going to prepare you with the words? And there are no right words. There are no fancy words. They're your words. That's all Philip does. Watch this. The guy responds, well, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. Are you kidding me? He's like, yeah, why don't you come up here? And then Luke decides to show us what he was actually reading out loud. Let me show you. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. That He is Jesus. This is a prophecy about Jesus, and the prophecy about Jesus not defending Himself when He was on trial. He was humiliated and received no justice. It's a prophecy about how He would be beaten and mocked as He died. Who could speak of His descendants, for His life was taken from the earth. See, when God prompts us to have these types of conversations, what we can believe is that He's been preparing the other person, so we need to listen. What this guy was doing was he was reading a specific a prophecy about Jesus, and he was confused by it. And so Philip doesn't have to do anything. Philip's like, hey, do you understand? And the guy reads it out loud, and then the treasurer says these words back. He says, well, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? It's right there. He lays it out. He says, tell me, how do I do this? And then at this moment, here's what Philip did. So beginning with this same scripture, beginning right there, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. You know what the good news about Jesus is? There's this guy. I've met him. His name's Jesus. He changed my life. He can change yours. That's the good news. You don't have to have a theological degree to do that. Philip told this man his story. I was hanging out one day and this dude came up to me. And he said, hey, Philip, you want to follow me? And I'm like, who are you, bro? But I went. And I watched him do things I've never seen anybody do for 3 years. And I heard things I've never heard. And I am convinced now that he is the God of the universe and that he came to rescue me. And if I put my faith in him and I believe that he died and I believe that he came back to life, my relationship with my Heavenly Father can be reconciled. And I've done it. And it's changed me. And it will change you as well. See, for any of us in this room who are worried about talking about Jesus to somebody else because we don't know what to say, let me assure you, your story is what you say. I was this, I met Jesus, now I'm this. And he's the reason. Well, I need more details. Well, then you should come back with me to church on Sunday and you can meet him for yourself. It doesn't have to be this long thing. You don't have to have a theological degree. You don't have to have the New Testament memorized. Now, if you have more of a biblical background, a more biblical knowledge, then that is a thing God has prepared in you. And you should feel free to talk about that. You should feel free to share as much as you understand, as much as you know. But every single one of us in this room who call ourselves Christians have a story to share. A story that God has prepared for us. A story that I believe can be used to change the world when we embrace the principle of this encounter. And the principle isn't what Philip did. It's what God was doing. What would happen if we embrace this idea that when God prompts, he also prepares? Because here's what I know. I know as we've been talking today, there have been names and faces that have popped into your mind of people that God has put on your heart. What would happen today, this week, if you asked God to give you an opportunity to have a conversation with him and you walked into it knowing when God prompts, he also prepares. When God prompts, he also prepares. My job isn't to figure it all out. My job isn't even to perform well. My job is to simply walk where he told me to walk. That's it. I'm just going to go get close. I'm going to ask him how I can help. And I'm going to trust God with the conversation. I'm telling you, I believe there could be some lives changed this week as we embrace and live out this truth. Because that's what happens at the end of the story. Watch this. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? This is why I know Philip told a story, because he talked about being baptized. And so the treasurer says, hey, I'm a Christian now. I believe in Jesus. Can I be baptized? And look what happens. He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Do you think Philip knew when God said, hey, take a walk south? Philip knew, you know what? I'm probably going to run into the treasurer of Ethiopia, guys. And I'm probably going to find him reading about Jesus from the book of Isaiah. And I'm going to walk up and say, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And he's going to say, no, why don't you tell me? And I'm going to lead him to Jesus. I'm going to baptize him. No, Philip didn't know any of that was going to happen. He knew it was possible because he had seen it. He knew it was possible because he had experienced it. See, this wasn't Philip's first rodeo. It wasn't even his tenth. This was old hat by then. But it had to begin with the first step. So my question, what is that step for you? Because we all have one. Now, for some of us, it really might be to have some conversations and to share our faith with other people. For others, it could be a step of obedience that really terrifies us, a step of generosity that we're not quite sure how it's going to work, a step of discussion to reach into someone else's life and maybe point out some things that are struggling. Maybe it's the very first step of faith. I don't know, but we celebrate people that take bold steps. We want to be people that take bold steps, but that thing that always stops us is that moment. It's that feeling. It's that anxiety. It's that emotion. It is that fear and terror of the unknown and the uncertainty of what's going to happen on the other side. And it's into that moment that this truth speaks. And it's into that moment that our God promises that when he prompts, he also prepares. And there will never be a tougher step than the first step. Because once you've taken that first step, you'll have that memory to look back on. On the way home from the same trip I told you about at the beginning, this time I was a little more prepared for John. We had had some conversations. And as we were about to take off, I said, "Buddy, are you sure you're okay?" Big grin. "Yeah, Dad, I'm great." You said that last time. Are you sure? Before I could even say, he goes, "Yeah, I'm really excited for the weird part." And I'm like, "What's the weird part?" And he's like, "You know that feeling right when you take off and your stomach gets all weird? That's so much fun." I said, "But buddy, that's the feeling that terrified you." He goes, yeah. "But this time I know it's coming. This time I know what to expect. And I know it's going to be okay on the other side." The only way to take future steps of faith is to take your first step of faith. The only way to have many conversations about your faith with other people is to have the first conversation about your faith with another person. And when you do, when you feel prompted by that Holy Spirit, you can be certain. You can stand on solid ground because you know that when God prompts, he also prepares. So this week, I challenge you to pray for opportunities to have conversations about your faith. To have conversations with your friends and your family and your neighbors and your coworkers. And as your church, we want to prepare you for the prompting. That's why every week we give you invitation cards. They're under the seat in front of you. That's why, or in the seat back. That's why we give you those cards each week. So that as you're having conversations, if you want to invite somebody to church, you give them that card. I don't think you have our address memorized. Maybe you do. But you can just give them that, and it's really easy. It's why we worked so hard on our app. We worked really hard to make sure everything in the app was easily shareable. So you can just share it with somebody else. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and they're talking and God says, "Hey, we talked about that at church last week, last month, last year." And you're like, "That message really helped me. Did you know in our app, you can find that message and with one button, you can share it with them. Just here, take the message." Guys, that is talking about your faith. That is sharing your faith with other people. And as your church, we want to make that as easy as possible for you to do, because we know there is nothing like being able to look backwards and see that step of faith and see the fear you had and see how God prepared and how God provided, so that for the next time you have the step of faith that you know what to expect. And dare I say, you could find yourself as innocently as my little boy, cherishing the very same feeling that terrified you before the journey began. Because that's who our God is. And that's what our God does. And he loves you. And he has prepared you for great things. And he has plans. And he has orchestrated things in ways you will never be able to understand until you take a step. This week, may you be assured that when God prompts, he also prepares. And when he prompts you, when you get ready to take that step, may he give you the courage to take it and the wisdom to see his hand and then the determination to take as many of those steps as possible for the rest of your life. Because the more we respond to his prompting, the easier it is to hear, the easier it is to follow, and the more he can use us to change the world. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. God, we're so thankful for your son. We're so thankful for his gift to us, and we're so thankful that you include us in your rescue mission of your world. God, I pray today that you will just steal our souls with this truth, with this reality that when you prompt us, you also prepare us. May we find your prompting exciting. May we find it inviting. And may we be encouraged to step wherever you want. God, I pray for opportunities this week to share our faith, opportunities this week to share the hope we found in you. We ask you to begin preparing now and then prompt us. And maybe see what you're going to do as we take a step into your future for our lives. We love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.